welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Granville Chris as a guest. Granville is the lead pastor of Concord International Church in Charlotte. In the last episode, we heard about Granville's life story. Today, we want to know more about his current ministry at Concord International Church. Hello, Granville.
Hello, good afternoon.
Can you tell us about your prior ministry experience?
Before Concord International Church, if you've heard my life story, you would know that my family is a family of ministers. So the joke was, I've been in the ministry even before I became a Christian. Because, you know, sometimes when you're young kids and your mom and dad is the pastor, you know, people like to hear you sing, you know, songs and stuff like that. So we would sing in church. But, yeah, we've been in the ministry for as long as I can remember. But, you know, just to highlight some specific things, I've taught Sunday school when I was a teenager. This was even back in you know, the Philippines, and in Korea, you know, we were part of many of the Bible studies and you know, the worship team of the churches in Seoul, such as Touch International Christian Church and Seoul International Baptist Church. You know, that's how ministry looked like when we were growing up. When I went to Europe, I was part of the worship team at the International Baptist Church in Prague. And of course, when I went back to Korea, same thing in the Seoul International, or in International Baptist Church in Seoul. We've also been part of ministries in the Philippines. Some of the highlights, of course, are in Touch Christian Fellowship. I was also one of the regular preachers at Zion Christian Fellowship in Sorala, South Cotabato. And when my wife and I moved to the U.S., we became involved in Concord International Church, first as mentors of the worship team, but now as the lead pastor of Concord International Church. We've also done several youth ministries, like the youth school in Sorala, South Cotabato in the Philippines, and we also had the Wired Ministry in Gastonia here in North Carolina.
Okay. So what year did you come to the Concord International Church?
Concord International Church, I believe we came in 2014, okay. In August. So that was our first introduction to CIC. We attended there for a while before we were approached sometime in November if we were interested in helping out with the worship team. So I think we formally joined the ministry of CIC in January 2015.
So how did you become a pastor of this church?
Oh. That's a very interesting story. Actually, when we were in Concord International Church, maybe once a month or every other month, I would be invited to preach. At the same time, my wife and I were going to Gardner Webb University, and we were both taking our Master of Divinity degrees. And so CIC would invite me to preach occasionally. And then, you know, while we were doing that, we were also doing some of the training for the worship team. Mm-hmm. So I think that went on for about 2 years. And around March or April of last year, so this was 2016, mm-hmm. The leadership basically invited me and my wife to start sitting in at the leadership meetings. So we would go in there and, you know, we would give our input and our opinion. And then I was encouraged to start the process of ordination. Mm. And so, I mean, that's something that I thought I should do anyway, that I was going to do eventually. So I did that, and the timeline was for me to be ordained by October of 2016. But, you know, just so that people are, just to get this straight. So we started joining leadership meetings in April or March 2016. It was also at that time that there were considered to be four pastors at the church. So that was me, Pastor Ralph Garay, Dr. Terry Casino, and Cecilia Casino, who are my mom and dad. And Dr. Terry and Cecilia Casino, they were planting a church in Gastonia, and their first service was going to be July 2016. And so we had already decided, to commission them as our church planters in Gastonia, and they started Grace Point International Church. During that time, Pastor Ralph Garay also decided that he needed to commit to his job at the North Carolina Baptist Convention. He's one of your colleagues, so I'm sure you're familiar with that. And so what ended up happening was I was the only pastor left that was also in the leadership positions. So I essentially became the pastor of Concord International Church, so almost by default. But we also recognized that this was one of God's ways of calling us into full-time pastorship. This was not something I necessarily considered because I wanted to become a teacher. Mm. But this is how it worked out. We prayed about it, and we made sure that if we were going to become the pastor of, or if I was going to become the pastor of Concord International Church, I needed to make sure that I had the full support of the leadership. So if any of them said, we're not comfortable with you here, then I would have taken that as a sign that, no, this is not for me. But the way it worked out was they all said they wanted me to continue on as the lead pastor of CIC. And so that's how I became lead pastor of CIC.
What is demographic like in your church? Are they mostly Filipinos or...
Right. You're right. Concord International Church is mostly Filipinos, but we do have a few non-Filipinos who come in. So we have several Americans. And of course, the kids really are Americans. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting when you're dealing with a multi-generational international church, because there are several distinct identity groups. But it's not just defined by culture. It's also defined by, when you became an immigrant. Mm-hmm. Were you born here? Are you still struggling with trying to figure out your culture versus your parents' culture and the culture that, you're born into? So most of them are culturally Filipino, but it's more complex than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the vision and value of your church?
The vision and value of our church is to be a worshiping community that is obedient to God. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that our community is a living witness and a testimony so that others may also come to Jesus Christ. And we do this through several means. And our core values are equipping, compassion, fellowship, worship, and outreach. And so... with those values, we hope to be able to preach God's word to everybody who needs it. So that's the mission and the vision of our church, is to be representatives of God and to reflect His heart in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Can you share some exciting stories of what God is doing at your church?
You and I were talking earlier about, we're called Concord International Church, but we're actually in Charlotte. And there's a good reason for that. We started out in Concord, North Carolina, very close to the Charlotte Motor Speedway. But you know, in the past few years, our church has grown so much that we could no longer fit in the space that was accommodating us in Concord.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to move, and the place that we moved to is in Charlotte. So we're Concord International Church, but we're actually in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the exciting things that is going on, because the growth of the church is evident, and it's really growing.
Mm-hmm.
Other exciting opportunities that have been given to us is the ability to be able to partner with other Asian churches. I think when we moved to Charlotte, we didn't realize just how isolated we made ourselves, because we generally only met with each other and maybe sometimes with other Filipino churches for sports. You know, sometimes we would meet with other churches just to play volleyball or basketball and stuff like that. But when we were in Charlotte, we realized that we had an opportunity to connect with other Asian churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've been able to do is sometimes we have this event, or actually yearly we've been having this event, where we celebrate Christmas with other Asian churches. And as part of that, we're able to, you know, donate clothes and, you know, sometimes canned goods to many of the refugees who actually live in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we take it for granted that, you know, there are many refugees coming here, but we don't realize they're in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that God has been able to open our eyes to. And we've been trying to at least partner with these churches, particularly with the churches who have a lot of refugees as their members.
What do you think the biggest reason for the church growth?
Well, biggest reason for church growth, that's a interesting question, and one that I don't think has a definitive answer. But I think one of the things that we really have to challenge ourselves to think about is, you know, what does the world need, right? Clearly for us Christians, we believe that the world needs Jesus Christ. And yet somehow we don't think that, or let me just put it in another way. Sometimes we live as if the gospel, which means good news, sometimes we live as if the gospel isn't good news to us. And I think for church growth to really happen is we have to genuinely allow the good news to be our good news. We often go through life just going through the motions, especially if we've been Christians for a long time. And I think the gospel has to come alive in our lives. You know, and we just have to think ourselves individually. And I think the answer might be different for everyone, but I think we will come to a common conclusion that Jesus is at the heart of it. But the question that we all need to ask ourselves is, you know, today, how is the gospel good news to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we start learning how to answer that question every day of our lives, we can achieve clarity of, you know, what the gospel means to us. And once we achieve that clarity, we can appreciate the fact that the way God works in all of our lives is different, and the way that good news presents itself is different. So once we receive that clarity and we appreciate that diversity, we'll be able to tell that story of how God in our lives is actually good news to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately that's what it is. Being able to share the gospel is about being able to share the way God is good news to all of us.
Mm-hmm. What are some challenges you faced or are facing at your church now?
Well, I think I touched on it a little bit when we started talking about the multi-generational and, you know, cross-cultural aspects of working with immigrants in an international church. And, you know, part of that is because, for example, like take a family where the parents moved here to the U.S. They still have a very strong Filipino identity, for example. But their kids were born here. They grow up surrounded by American culture, or more specifically, North Carolina culture. And so you're trying to balance their identity, that their parents want for them, which is, you know, to hold on to the Filipino values. But at the same time, you know, they are American. And so, you know, they have to fit in with their classmates. They have to fit in with their schoolmates. So trying to bridge that gap between the parents and their kids sometimes is one of the responsibilities that we have as a church. Because if we truly believe that the church is a unified body, then we have to make sure that this body works together. So sometimes, you know, maybe it's not necessarily, I guess, a big problem with homogeneous churches, but like with churches like this, where it's multiple cultures and multiple generations, you have to resist the temptation of trying to cater only to one set of you know, needs. Like, for example, I think if you take a look at the way typical churches operate, where we separate the kids from the parents during, you know, worship service, I think that can be a little bit dangerous, because essentially what you're doing is you're creating two churches. And so when these kids, you know, graduate to the youth group, and then they, you know, then all their lives they've just learned to worship separately from their parents. They never learned how to separate as part, how to worship as part of the body of Christ. So by the time they get to college, they never really feel as if they're part of the body. They just feel like they're different. And so the many of these kids probably, like, you know, they don't know how to reconnect back to the main church, or, you know, the quote-unquote main church, because they've always been in youth group. They've always been just the kids. They've always been other. Mm-hmm. You know, they've never been CIC. But what we want them to know is that, listen, you are part of the body of Christ. You are CIC. Mm-hmm. So there's no junior members here. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we try to model first in our worship team, where we basically, because there used to be like a junior youth, like a youth team, and then of course there was the main worship team, and somehow they tried to make that work. But to me, philosophically, I said, okay, no, when we came in, we said, no, there's just one worship team. All of you are serving the Lord. All of you have to work together. All of you have to teach each other, and because all of us are part of one body. So that's one of the key big challenges when it comes to dealing with an international church like that. But I think another major challenge that we have right now, we're undergoing a lot of changes. First of all, the transition between pastors, but also because you know, we went through the process of incorporation. Now we're we've implemented membership, and anytime there are huge changes like that in a church, there's always going to be some kind of resistance, and there's always going to be some kind of conflict. So we continue to pray for unity, even though we don't agree with all of the details of what we're trying to accomplish here.
So you don't have youth group?
We do, mm-hmm. but what we're trying to do now is, and again, this is a long-term plan, but we're trying to make it so that when it comes time for worship, they're worshiping together with us. So it's not a separate service for them. But in a few weeks, in 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to start the youth Bible study, but that's going to be on a different day. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be like what we used to have, where the kids have their own worship service, the youth have their own worship service, and the adults have their own worship service. Mm-hmm. So right now, even the kids, two Sundays of the month, they still have their own worship service, but the rest of it, they're doing. They worship with us, like today when you were speaking at CIC. But we're trying to go make sure, and this is another big challenge, is because we share the space with other churches, so scheduling is difficult. So, but we're trying to make it so that the schedule allows for the kids to have their Sunday school before the service, or maybe after the service, so that when it comes time to the service, we're all worshiping together.
So to bridge the gap between first and second generation, mm-hmm. in the worship service, you put them all together to worship together. That's one of the ways to bridge the gap.
Yes, but also not just to bridge the gap between the generations, but also to reiterate the power of the symbol of worshiping together as one body. And it's really not just a symbol. I think it's a practical reality that sometimes we forget when we're trying to, stratify the church just to try to meet each group's needs. But I think when it comes to worship in particular, we need to at least, set that aside and worship together.
That's good. Now, how does discipleship look like at your church?
Discipleship at our church, it is a work in progress. Right now, honestly, there's not much of that going on. There really was never a structure for that before, which is not to say that it wasn't important, I believe, to the previous leadership, but I think it just wasn't there. So what we're trying to do now is, and this is a long-term plan, what we're doing now is because we have several Bible studies during the week, so what we did starting last September was we asked all of the Bible study leaders to unify the curriculum. So now they're all studying the same thing. And then at the same time that's going on, I'm training these Bible study leaders. So we have a Bible study on Friday. We train them how to use the material and how to present it. And then, in their Bible studies, they're presenting it. So right now we're doing the book of James, right? And since the Bible studies, they're basically once every other week. So for example, Saints Bible study, I don't know if it's this week or next week, but Saints Bible study would be 1 week, and then Andrew's Bible study would be the next. So if you missed Saints, but you were able to make it to Andrew's, you would still get the same material, because we're now unifying the material. But we're going to do that for the next few months, and then we're going to evaluate if it's working. But ultimately, the whole goal of this is so that those people who are being trained now will be able to start Bible studies in their own home. So right now, we only have two, but hopefully by the beginning of next year or maybe the end of spring, we'll have six or seven. And then while we're doing that, while we're reinforcing the Bible study stuff, we're going to also set up the structure for the discipleship program. So right now it's a work in progress. There's not a lot of it going on, but we want to move in that direction.
Okay. My last question is, how do you develop your team? How do you raise up leaders in your church?
Well, I mean, I've only been one of the leaders. I've only been part of the leadership for about a year and a half. So it's difficult to say, really, what they've been doing for the past few years. But, what we envision here is we really want them to be equipped. And part of that is offering, sessions, time to sit together and really develop them, not just, technically, because a lot of times we get caught up in the method. So we are teaching that stuff, but we want to make sure that people are immersed in the Word as well. So we're trying to strike that balance of the Word. But when it comes to actual leadership development, what we want to do is really invite everyone to be part of the ministries, to come together with us, and to work together with us. Because I think you learn best by doing. And, one of the things that we've really looked at and prayerfully considered is trying to convince everybody that they need to be part of the work that God is doing at CIC. I don't believe that our congregation is just called to gather together every Sunday morning and sing songs about Jesus. I honestly and truly believe that each person that comes to CIC is a minister. And we just have to be able to bring that to the table and make sure that they have opportunities to be ministers. And maybe not in the traditional sense of the word where we preach and whatever, but for them to use the gifts that God has given them so that they can administer God's grace to one another and to the world. So, like, just to give an example, today, Sammy Ju actually announced that, you know, the North Carolina Baptist Convention was going to be partnering with our church to help train them by, first of all, discovering their strengths and then developing their strengths. And I think that's very, very useful because sometimes we try so hard trying to work on our weaknesses that we allow our strengths to just, you know, stagnate. But I think this is going to be useful, not just in allowing people to discover their strengths, but to also discover that God has designed them to be effective. I think we forget sometimes that, you know, we can be very effective. And if we can encourage our congregation to, you know, move past many traditional notions of ministry, such as, you know, having to go to seminary and things like that, we'll be able to convince them that, you know what, you have a calling. You have a calling, and it's time to pay attention, and it's time to obey.
Well, thank you, Granville. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you, and I will see you in the next episode.